Well, we always enjoy a good season of prayer. It's good to pray for God's people, but it's certainly good to pray with God's people. And I'm glad that we can have corporate prayer. If you would, please take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Would you turn there? We're going to just spend just a moment in the book of Deuteronomy. You can turn there in chapter number 34, Deuteronomy chapter number 34. And once you find your place there, if you would, stand to your feet. If you do not have a Bible, there may be one in the chair that you're sitting in under it, or maybe in the one in front of you, or you can look on with someone. There's 12 verses in the final chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. We spent some time on Wednesday nights going through the book, and we closed it out. I just want to use this final chapter as a springboard into the message that God's laid on my heart tonight. I want to talk to you actually out of Joshua chapter 1, but I want to use Deuteronomy 34 to springboard into it. As we close out this year, I thought about this. I thought about how that this really is a closing period in the lives of the children of Israel. Moses, as you'll look in verse number 5, it says, "So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there." New era getting ready to begin. God always has a man to step up, doesn't he? Joshua waiting in the wings. Possibilities lie before them. Victories. A lot of things that God had in store for them as they move forward to the land that God had promised to Abraham many years ago. And so now, we're going to see how that this came about. And so if you'll look with me into chapter 34, we'll just read the whole chapter and then we'll have a word of prayer and I'll bring a few thoughts that God's laid on my heart. I hope it'll be an encouragement to you as we enter into yet another year that God has given us. As I said, if God helps us to live a few more days and sees us into another year, I don't want you to go into the new year with no goals, spiritual goals, without realizing God has some task for you. God has something for you to do. And God basically approached Joshua and said, "Joshua, it's time to get to the task. You have sit and you have learned at the feet of a great man. You have trained for this moment. And now it's time to get to the work." And Joshua got to the work. But before he did, God said, "I want to remind you something, Joshua. As I was with your teacher, I will be with you." What a great encouragement. As I was with the man who accomplished all of those things before your eyes, I'm going to be with you. And I'm going to accomplish them through you. What's God going to accomplish through you in the days to come? So, well, preacher, I don't know. Well, you need to listen because God has some things he wants to accomplish through you. What is God going to accomplish through you? If you'll listen, he'll tell you. Because God has a work for every one of his children. Amen? He does. Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? If you do, God has something for you. Get in tune with what that is, and then trust him and follow him that it could be accomplished in the days to come. Deuteronomy 34, I'm not going to go and do any review because of some thoughts I have, but we spent quite some time here. I enjoyed studying the book of Deuteronomy with you, and it was a joy to me to just read through it and study it again. Let's read these 12 verses together. Deuteronomy 34, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, and to the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees, and to Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there. By the way, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing to be referred to by the God of heaven as the servant of the Lord? I don't know of any really higher honor other than what John said, that we're called the sons of God. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to be a son of God, and it's a wonderful thing to be a servant of God. He died there in the land of Moab, verse 5 says, according to the word of the Lord. By the way, that's when you'll die too. That's when I'll die too. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab and over against Beth Peor. But no man knoweth of his sepulcher unto this day. And we talked a little bit about that, what Jude said about it. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for the record of your servant, Moses. And thank you for Joshua. We're thankful that when you call one home, you have another waiting in the wings. And we thank you, Lord, that that has not changed even in this day. Though your workers move on, your work moves forward. And I pray that you would help us to be a people of your work. And I pray that you would fit us for that work. I know that you have. I pray that we would receive it and that we would put our hand to the plow and do the work that you've called us to do in the hour in which you've called us to do it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to turn over now into Joshua chapter number 1, and I just want to give you some simple thoughts that God's laid upon my heart out of Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter 1 begins this way. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I give to them, even to the children of Israel. What's happening here? Well, Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. We read in Deuteronomy 34. Here in Joshua chapter 1, Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. But the work of God's not dead. The worker of God moved on, but the work of God must carry on. And so God said, Joshua, it's time to step up. It's time for you to step up. And he said, I have a task for you. And as I was just meditating on this some this past week, I thought about how that God has a task for me. God has a task for you. God has a task for all of his children. I can't, in general, I can tell you what God's task for his people are. Specifically, I can't tell you what God's task for your life is. But if you'll listen, God will tell you. If you'll notice what happens here, notice if you would, he said, this is what I want you to do. He said in verse number 3, every place that the sole of your foot, now you know what God's saying here? In order to fulfill my task, you got to get to moving, son. You're not going to fulfill the work that I have for you to do sitting down. It's time for you to get up and take some action, right? Amen. Yes. He said, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you as I said unto Moses. So basically what he's saying here is, I've already won the victory. You just need to claim it. I've given you the inheritance. It's time to go claim it. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people that are living under the blessing and the privilege that God's already given, because we're not claiming it. Just claim the victory that God has given. There's a lot of people fighting for victory. The victory's been won, brethren. Amen. Claim it. Amen. Claim the victory. We'll see that in just a moment. Look at verse 4. He said, let me give you some definition. Let me give you some principles and some definition and some particulars of the task that I've called you to do. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. He said, this is what I want you to do. From this land, here, there, to that river, he's saying there's some walled cities. I want you to go seize them. They did. We read about Jericho in the next couple of chapters. He said, there's some rivers to cross. Jordan, I want you to cross it. They did. They did. He said, there's some battles to fight and to win from the Hittites and the Perizzites and all the enemies of the land. He said, I'll defeat them. I'll defeat them. You can claim the victory. They did. As long as they did what God said. And we'll see in just a moment, that was God's condition. He said, now listen, you're going to accomplish these tasks. I'm going to be with you through these tasks. There's going to be times you're going to be fearful because I'm going to ask you to do things that's going to be outside of you. God is going to ask me. God is going to ask you. God is going to ask this ministry to do some things that are outside of us. But he said, I will be with you. I will be with you. He tells Joshua over again, look at verse number 6, be strong and of a good courage. What's that mean? That means you're going to think I can't do this. You're going to be a little fearful. But Joshua, don't back down. Move forward, right? Do what I've called you to do. Be strong and of good courage. Look in verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Look at verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. What is God saying? God said, I'm going to call you to do some things that's going to put maybe a little fear in you, a little apprehension. But I want you to move forward. I want you to know that I'm going to be with you, that I'm going to accomplish these things through you. And he said, as I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. He gave him this promise. Look, if you would, at the latter part. Well, let's just read the whole verse number 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Brethren, that's quite a promise now. You think about what he just said there. Nobody is going to be able to withstand you. You just move forward. You just follow me. We're going to claim some victory here. No man, verse number 5, is going to be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. Let's continue to read. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. That had to be a great encouragement. Just reading through the life of Moses and what God did in the life of Moses, knowing how that God accomplished all of those things in and through Moses, and now God is telling Joshua, as I was with him, I'm going to be with you. This had to be great encouragement to him. Can I tell you that same God is going to be with you? You say, but you don't know what I'm going to face. I don't even know what I'm going to face. I just know that God said, I will be with you. Notice that. That's not all he said. Look at the rest of verse number 5. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. Amen. Can I tell you? I'll fail you. Now, not intentionally, but I'll fail you. You'll fail me. Man fails us. That's right. But God will never fail you. God will never fail you. God is always only good. God will never fail you. That's not all he said. He said, I will never fail you. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. Some kind of promise here, brethren. Some kind of promise. And so as I thought about some things that lie on the horizon for you, for me, for us, I thought about this promise. I don't know what the next few days, weeks, months, next year, if Jesus tarries, is coming, and if we live, I don't know what God has in store for me individually, you individually, us corporately, but I know the promises of God are so. And God is no respecter of persons. God's going to take care of you. Amen. God's going to give you victory. The question is, are you going to step up and do the task that God has tasked you to do? What has God tasked you to do? What does God have in store for you? In the work of God, what is God asking you to accomplish for His glory? Think about it. God has something for you to do. You say, well, I know God has something for the preacher to do. Well, sure He does. But can I tell you, God has something for you to do too. That's right. God has something for all of His children to do. Doesn't He? Oh, come on, doesn't He? Amen. Say it one more time. I want everybody to say, doesn't He? Amen. Yes. Yes. You see, you have to understand this. God wants to do something in and through your life. He's looking for a willing vessel. Here am I. Here am I. I'm going to do your work, Lord. You think about that. I get to do the work of the one true and living God. What a privilege. That's an honor. It's an honor that we get to serve God. Brethren, you're looking at a man, and I think I'm looking at a people. I don't hold my head down and drag my feet like, well, I guess, you know, I've got to go to church. No, I get to go to church. Amen. Well, I got to go over and visit that sick person. No, I get to do that. I get to serve God. You get to serve God. Can I tell you, I could be serving Satan. I did for years. I could still be in bondage to him. He could be my master. But I'm glad I changed masters. I get to serve the Lord. And if you're saved, you get to serve Him too. That's right. And so as we enter into this new year, I pray that you would realize God has something for me to do. Identify what it is. Let God speak to you. Let God move on you and show you what He has you to do. And as He does, trust Him to empower you. So the first thing I see here, and I want you to write this word down, assignment. God gives Joshua an assignment. I like assignments. When I worked in the public sector, I enjoyed going to work and being told, this is what I expect of you today. I do not like to work with unorganized people with no structure. It drives me nuts. I need to know, either tell me what is expected of me and what I need to do today, or get out of my way and let me make a schedule so I can accomplish some things today. Amen? Yeah. I want to get the job done. I do not like to just fiddle around and walk in circles and do a lot of nothing, and then the day's gone. I can't stand that. And so God told Joshua, He said, I've got an assignment for you. I've got a task for you. And I'm glad, now I want you to listen to me, as we're going to see here in just a moment. God's assignments never come, listen carefully, without God's assistance. Did you hear me? God's assignments never come without God's assistance. God said, Joshua, this is what I want you to do. And as I was with Moses, here it is, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to assist you to fulfill the assignment that I've given unto you. God's going to do the same for you too. God's going to do the same for me. And so He said, this is what I want you to do. And then He said, as you do this, I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. I am going to assist you in accomplishing this assignment that I've given unto you. Drop down, if you would, in verse number 7. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. He said, now as you carry out my assignment, I want you to understand my commandments, okay? He said, my commandments are going to help you fulfill my assignment, right? God wants us to do that too. We're not going to make it far in God's work without God's word, brethren. Amen? Stay in the word. Look what He said here. Look what He said in verse number 7. He said, to observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Look at this. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Stay straight. Right? Stay straight. Stay in the word. Don't turn to the right.
Don't turn to the left. Don't get off course. Stay straight. There's a lot of forces trying to get you to turn. Don't turn. Stay straight. Amen. Stay straight. Stay in the Word. Stay straight. Don't lose your focus. Keep your focus straight ahead. You put your hand to the plow, don't look behind you. Look straight. That's the way you accomplish the work. You can't answer all your doubters. You can't come off the wall and answer your accusers. You got to stay in the work, right? Listen to me, brethren. Listen to me. The enemy will send people to try to get you to get away from the work, to try to get your focus and your attention off of what God's called us to do. Have to stay focused. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Keep your eye on the goal. Stay focused. Stay in the Word. Turn not to, he said in verse number 7, the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. You'll accomplish things when you keep your focus on the work and when you keep your eye on the goal. Then he said in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, there's three words I want you to write down here. Number one, I want you to write down declare, because God said, I want you to declare the word. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. As you're doing God's work, declare his word. I tell you, a lot of Christians have just really gotten quiet. We've just shut up on God. God wants you to declare his word. Amen. God wants us to declare his word. And I pray that you'll do that. Don't let the word of the Lord depart out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart. Keep it in your mouth. Keep it in your mind. Live it. Proclaim it. Declare it. Declare the word. This book of the law. The second word I want you to notice is digest it. He said, not only should it not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That word meditate is a very interesting word. We hear a lot about meditation through mysticism and Eastern religions, and they talk about meditation, but you know, the Bible talks about meditation, and it talks about musing, meditating. What's this word really mean? Well, I think a simple definition would be meditation to the soul is what digestion to the body is. It breaks it down, and it sends the nutrients and the vitamins to the parts of the body to strengthen the body. When we ponder, when we think upon God's word instead of just, and this is what happens a lot of times, and I'm asking God to help me. Maybe you don't have this problem. I have this problem. I live a pretty fast-paced life. I have a lot of things going on. I try to never use that as an excuse. Got 1,000 things on my mind. Some of them are you. And so if I'm not careful, I'll read Bible passages, and then my mind will go somewhere else. And then my mind will go somewhere, and I'm not thinking about what I've read. Meditation is musing. It's allowing that to just permeate my mind so I can break it down and really give thought to what I've just read in God's Word. What is God saying? Not just read it and say, okay, and then move on, but think on it. When you really look into this word meditation, I want you to hear this now. How many of you, and this is a great time to use this illustration. I tell you, you're probably going to leave here saying, boy, I tell you, my preacher's carnal. For the last couple of weeks, I have been singing, "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year," over and over. I heard the song. I can't get it out of my mind. It's the most wonderful time of the year. You know that song, right? Yeah, you don't want me to sing it for you. You want me to sing it for you? No, you don't. Trust me. So that's what meditation is, okay? You know what happens when I quit singing it? What happens when you have a song that you cannot get rid of and you quit singing it? You start humming it. If you whistle, you start whistling it.
You go from singing to humming to whistling to, the song will not leave. Even when you say, yeah, what? And I do this sometimes. I say, no, I don't want to think about this stupid song. Now, it's not the most wonderful time of the year. Okay. I think of some other songs that I shouldn't think of. You say, oh, you shouldn't do that. Well, I can't help it. I'm still in the flesh, okay? I'm not saying that that's okay, all right? I'm just saying that I can be walking through Walmart. I like to use Walmart because they're evil. No, I'm just I can be walking through Walmart and I'll hear a song that I heard before I got saved coming over, the speaker. It could be a restaurant. And if I'm not careful, it'll come back. And I'll say, whoa, wait, I don't want to sing that song. I don't want to sing that. And I'll start singing at Calvary. I don't want to sing that song. It's not honoring. I don't want to obey the flesh. So I don't ever do that. Well, God bless you. Amen. If you'll present your ring, I'll kiss it after the service. I struggle a little bit with that. Okay? That's what meditation is. It's getting it in you and it not leaving right away. It's when you read, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then you just begin to think about that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And you just really begin to think, what is God saying there? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And you begin to picture in your mind what it is for the shepherd to prepare the green pastures for the sheep to lie in and to graze in and to rest in, to feed in, to be nourished in. You begin to think about how good God is as our great shepherd and how he provides manna from heaven to feed on, a resting place in him. You begin to think and you begin to just meditate on the goodness of God. And you don't just allow your mind to go from reading a passage of Scripture and then thinking about this or that or a duty that you have or a care that you have or a problem that you're trying to help someone with. You just think on it until it becomes part of your thought process. The Bible says in verse number 8, if you'll look there in chapter number 1 of Joshua, thou shalt meditate therein, the word of God, day and night. Be thinking about God's goodness day and night. Be thinking about passages of Scripture that are relevant to you and where you are in your life and what you're going through. Think on those things. And allow them to encourage you and strengthen you. That's what we're being told here. God's saying, Joshua, I have an assignment for you. But the assignment's not an easy task. There's some giants over there in that land. And there were. Listen to me now. There's some big people over there and there's some big tasks. There's some walled cities over there. There's some mean people. There's enemies lying in wait for you. And in yourself, you're not going to be able to defeat them. But I'll not fail you. I'll not forsake you. Keep my word in your heart, Joshua. Meditate therein day and night. Don't forget who I am. Don't you forget what I can do. Don't you forget what I did for Moses now. Think about that. I'll do it for you. That's what God's telling Joshua. Can I tell you that's what God's telling you? God's saying, I've got something for you to do. But you're not going to be able to do it alone. Usually if you can do it by yourself, it's not God's work. Somebody say amen with me now. We're working in the supernatural here. But God said, I'll help you. I'll help you. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. I'll see you through. I've won the victory. I'll let you claim it. Just follow my word. Look at the last part. So number one, he said what? Declare it. Number two, digest it. Meditate. And then number three, do it. Verse number 8, that thou mayest, why should the book of this law not depart out of my mouth? Why should I meditate therein day and night? Here's why. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. It's a wonderful thing to declare it. It's a wonderful thing to digest it. But the end to the means and the means to the end is so you can do it. You can observe to do according to all that God has written therein. Then, look what he said. Then, when you put God's word into action, when I put God's word into action, then, look at it, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Yeah. You say, preacher, that's what I want. I want that. Well, you can have it. The promises of God are for you too. All the promises of God are in Christ Jesus. Yay and amen. See, they're there for you. They're there for me. These things were written for our examples, you see. Amen. Hey, that's Old Testament stuff, preacher. I know where I'm at. Amen. I also know what Paul said. These things are written for our admonition and for our examples. We can learn from them, and we can become better in our walk with Christ through learning from those that have been where we are headed. And so he said, I have an assignment for you. Then number two, look in verse number 10. And I'll just give you a couple of quick things and I'll be through, okay? The commandment. Look what Joshua did when he got the command, when he got the assignment. Then Joshua commanded. So it goes from an assignment to a commandment. Now I want you to watch what Joshua, but listen, I challenge you. All the men and women of God that God used in the Scripture and that he has used since scriptural time did what Joshua did right here. They got other people involved. See, God doesn't want you to do the work on your own. God wants you to incorporate other people. I thought about Nehemiah. When Nehemiah seen the gates and the wall of the city just in rubble and just torn, it burned his heart. But you know what he did? For 3 days. Read it. For 3 days. He went and he observed and he evaluated and he came up with a plan. He did. Paul would often do this. When he would go into cities, he would come up with a plan. He wouldn't just go in and tear into it. Say, I'll do that if I'm not careful. You know, just take the bull by the horns. Let's go. Let's do this. But I want you to notice what Joshua did. It's what God wants you to do and what God wants me to do. God has a work for you. And so he gives us an assignment. Now, with that assignment, I want you to notice what Joshua did. He gave a commandment. But watch what he did. We can learn from a great leader here. Verse number 10 says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare you victuals. You say, wait a minute, what's that? Well, down south we call that victuals. Amen. That's good eating. He said, prepare you victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. Now, I'm not going to get into detail of this. I just want you to get this one principle. Do you see what just happened there? God said, I have an assignment for you. Already won the victory, want you to go claim it. And Joshua said, let's go. Amen. Let's go. In 3 days. Is that what he said? Look at it. In 3 days, we're going to cross that river. And we're going to go do what God said. The key word is prepare. Got to get us a little game plan together. You listening? Got to think this thing through. Make sure we're in touch with God. And we're following his lead. How often have I messed up what God had in store for me because I did not do this? I let my anticipation and my enthusiasm and just get ahead of me. Let's do this. God called me to do it. I'm ready. Let's go. Amen. You know, whoa. You know, you get a little older. You get a little wiser. You can say amen right there. And you say, well, wait a minute. You got to think this thing through. You got to take some steps. You got to get some other people involved. He got the officers. He got some leaders. No doubt he called them together. We got a game plan. So how do you know he done that? Look at the way chapter 2. Listen, look the way chapter 2 starts. Chapter 2 says, Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly. Got them a plan together. You're going to do something for God. You need to get you some steps laid out and get you a vision and a goal and get you a plan together. Yeah. Hey, God is a God of order. Yes. He wants us to do things decently and in order. And so the commandment, there's the assignment. He got him some help. When God gives me a vision, I immediately call people of the church and I say, listen, this is a vision God's laid on my heart. And I began to put together a team. We have a man sitting in the church, and I wouldn't say this to embarrass him. It's just so. It's David Thompson. He's the best I've ever met at it. He knows how to rally people. He knows how to prepare, how to structure. I've actually asked him when we've had missions conferences here, teach it. It's biblical, and it's helped me, and I want to help others, and tonight I hope it'll help you. When God gives you something to do, let God give you the plan. Set the plan out. Then you plan the work, you work the plan. Yeah. Get you some help. Look again what he said here in verse number 11. Pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare. And so that's the second thing. He gave some commandments. He rallied some people. He got some people together. He got them a plan together. And then he said, let's go do what God's tasked us to do. It took him 3 days. If you'll notice, he made it very clear. He said, within 3 days, you shall pass over this Jordan. Listen, these folks have been camping on that side of the Jordan for a while. They're ready to go. But Joshua said, that time will come. Appreciate your enthusiasm. Appreciate your excitement. But don't let that get ahead of the plan. Right? Keep a fire. Keep your vision. But get your plan together. Now, thirdly, and I'll be through. There's much more in here. I'm talking about going into a new year, brethren. I'm talking about doing something God's called you to do. God has something for every member of every Bible-believing church in the world to do. God has something for you to do. Whether you're a member of this church or another church, God has something for His people to do. And until you do it, you're not going to be, listen, there's going to be no peace in your heart. There's going to be no fulfillment. There's going to be no joy. And I want you to experience that. You say, well, you know what? I'm hurting. This will help you. I've got a problem. This will help you. I found out, listen, when I'm hurting, the best thing I can do is find me somebody that's hurting and help them. How many of you believe that? Say amen. Raise your hand if you believe that. I hope you understand how important that is. If you spend all of your time weeping over your hurting and getting inward, you're going to miss it. You find you someone else is hurting and you minister to them, I will guarantee you, God Himself will minister to your hurt and He will send someone to you that will minister to your hurt. It's the Bible way. Number three, there's the third and final word. Encouragement. Look at verse number 16. They answered Joshua saying, now some people think this was just a few tribes, but I 100% convinced it's the whole 12 tribes, the entire people of Israel, answered Joshua saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. Amen. And that's something. That's every pastor's dream. Amen, brother? Amen. Yeah. Why do you think that happened? Because God was in it, number one. Number two, because Joshua followed God's instructions. The people got on board. I sure am thankful, and I'm not just saying this. We all know this, we that are part of this church. Aren't you glad to belong to a church where people will say, let's go, let's do this. Amen. I read this, and I want to share this with you, okay? Some churches are a field to work in. Some churches are a force to work with. I sure am glad we have a force to work with. The field is the world, brother. The church is not the church should not be the field. You listening? The field, read the parable, the field is the world. Some churches, you can't get anybody to do anything. These people said, let's go. We want to be the force, not the field. Assignment, commandment, encouragement. We'll read this and we'll be through. They answered Joshua, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. You keep following God, and we'll follow you. Now, did they always do that? No, but they said, we'll do it. It's the best you can hope for. Right? Yeah. Look at verse 18. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Joshua, we're with you. And we stand behind you. And if somebody comes along and says, you know what? We're not going to do what Joshua said. We're going to deal with it. That's what they said. We're going to deal with it. Because we've got us a man that's leading us, and we want to do God's work, and we want to do it God's way, and we want to be a part of that. I do too. And I believe you do too. So number one, the assignment. Let's stand to our feet. What assignment does God have for you? God giving you an assignment? So well, God doesn't have anything for me to do. Now wait a minute. Hold it. That's just not so. God does have something for you to do. And I want you to ask God, God, what would thou have me to do? What is it that you have for me, Lord? What ministry do you want me to get involved in? What work do you want me to be a part of? What is my assignment moving forward? All right? And as God gives you that assignment, I will guarantee you, he will give you the promises that goes with the assignment, or the assistance that he has promised, that he will help you in his assignment. He will not leave you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will assist you to accomplish his assignment. What is that for you? What is it? Number two, the commandment. When God gives you an assignment, he'll want you to get some other people involved and say, hey, would you help me in this assignment? Here at Fellowship Baptist Church, we have ministry teams. That's what we do. We our missions committee. We have our Sunday school staff. We have our music staff. We have people that work together. Just like the Scripture teaches. God blesses when you do it the scriptural way. And then finally, the encouragement. Don't be one of those people, and I don't think there'd be anyone here tonight now. I don't. Don't be one of those people that's always trying to bring interference or trying to tear down or trying to undo what God is doing. Don't be one of those people. You'll live a miserable life, especially here. It's not going to happen. Get on board. Let's serve God together. Amen? So I ask one final time, what's God got for you to do?